So to help us do that, to help us get in alignment organizationally, it's also important for us to be in alignment individually. And that's where we can look individually, and that's where we're going to look. So let's do that by taking this pyramid one level at a time. We're going to start with the base, identify values. And as we do this, as we go through this, you're going to have an opportunity to identify some of yours and even clarify some of yours. But we said values are the base because that's where we get the strength. That's where we understand what drives our behavior. And in fact, we call these governing values because they govern our behavior. And at the bottom there, you can write the governing values are my standards, ideals, and highest priorities, just underneath the pyramid. My standards, ideals, and highest priorities. The inspiration in the development of this seminar and the original development of this came from a man in American history, Benjamin Franklin, hence the Franklin of Franklin Covey. Benjamin Franklin, we all know, is a very effective, productive individual. As a matter of fact, what are some of the things you know about his accomplishments? What did Ben Franklin do that you remember? First fire department, public library, the post office, and he was the first postmaster general of the U.S., invented the Franklin stove, invented bifocals. So he was a scientist, he was an inventor, he was a politician, statesman, ambassador to France. He accomplished a lot in his life. There's a little museum in Philadelphia that's devoted to the life of Ben Franklin where they have some replicas of inventions of his. It's really cool. But on this one wall as you're leaving, the whole wall is his timeline and at different ages it showed, or different years, what he accomplished during that year. It's an amazing list. Did you know he invented swim fins? That was one of the surprises to me. He was an avid swimmer, invented flippers, you know. So he accomplished a lot, but at about the age 27, he wasn't feeling very accomplished. As a matter of fact, he was feeling like he was a failure. If you know what he accomplished by age 27, you would hardly call him a failure, but he felt like it. So he took a little time of reflection, and in that time, he identified what he called his virtues. We would say values, but he identified his virtues. He had a list originally of 12. He showed them to a friend of his. His friend said, Ben, those are great, but you forgot one. You're not a very humble guy. Humility needs to be on your list. So he then added humility, and it turns out he had these 13 values in language we probably wouldn't use today, but he had the 13. As you read his autobiography, he then started living in 13-week cycles. And each week, he'd focus on one of them. And he would set some goals, and he would keep that focus. And the next week, he'd focus on the next one. The next one, at the end of 13 weeks, he went back to number one, and he just kept that cycle going for the rest of his life. He talks about, in his autobiography, about carrying a little book around with him. I'm sure he called it My Franklin Planner. Just forgot to mention that. But he carried this book around with him where he kept track of all of this and kept it organized. Later in his life, when he wrote his memoirs, he said, and I'm misquoting him, but I'm getting the idea across, I believe I have achieved a oneness with all 12 of my virtues. He's back to 12. And he said about humility something like this, you know, accomplishing those other 12 felt so good, it was hard to be humble. So, heck with humility. So humility was out the window for him, but why really wasn't it one he spent a lot of time on? It was hard to accomplish because it wasn't his. It didn't come from here, it came from here. Somebody suggested it. It didn't come from his heart, it came from his head. Somebody suggested it and he said, hey, that sounds good. What I'm going to ask you to do is take a few minutes and at least, you won't get finished any of this, but at least begin listing your values. Anybody find that difficult to do at any level? A little bit? Yeah, I'm seeing a few heads shaking yes. Well, at this point, it's listing them and identifying. We're going to come back to the difficulty in just a moment, but I'd like to add the next piece to that. The next piece beyond just listing them is to clarify values. Why would you want to clarify them and write any additional information? Jen? Yeah, a different value stated means different things to different people. You and I may say the same value statement, but we may have a different meaning completely. And this is putting your meaning around that. Now let me show you a few examples and then let's talk about the relationship. Going back to Ben Franklin, he wrote a sentence or two about each of his virtues. If you look at sincerity, use no hurtful deceit, think innocently and justly, speak accordingly. Boy, he had a way with words, poetic in many cases. We're going to look at a more modern example. As a matter of fact, this is from a manager, a woman named Janine. We're going to follow her examples through the rest of the productivity pyramid. We've taken two of her values, teamwork and creativity, and you'll notice that she wrote a few sentences about each one as well. For teamwork, I work collaboratively with others and positively contribute in a way that will help my team move forward. Now that may not be true every day, but that's her vision of what it looks like to her to be a team player. Creativity. I reflect my unique capacities while being inventive and independent in the things I choose to do. Is there anything significant about how those are written that strikes you? They're present tense and first person. Those are called affirmation statements. The strength of an affirmation statement, even though you may not feel like you are there yet, is that it helps you get there. You see, if you write it out as where you might be today by saying, you know, well, I wish or I hope someday I will be this way, that doesn't give any strength or power. Putting it in the affirmation really gives it some power. I'll give you another example. When I went through this, and again, this was back in 1986, the first time I attended a program where I spent time clarifying values, and I'd never done that through high school, through college. Had never done that in my career up to that point. And so I looked at my values and I said, well, what are the things most important to me? And, you know, my health was important, my career was important, my family was important. But putting it in other terms, I said, in relationship to my family, I am an excellent and loving husband and father. That was the statement. You know, now we're just suggesting you put a word for the value and then clarify it. I wrote kind of a sentence up there. I love my wife and children deeply. I treat them with great respect, patience, kindness, and support. I help Deb make decisions concerning our finances, our family, and personal goals. I encourage her to grow physically, intellectually, and spiritually. I make my decisions with her foremost in mind. I teach my family and take the responsibility for their education. See, I don't believe it's the school's responsibility. It's mine. They're a resource to me. That changes our relationship when I believe that. I participate in activities. I provide the proper atmosphere that my family will feel free to come to me with questions, problems, or simply to talk. And, you know, I wrote some other things there. I remember being very excited about this and taking it home and explaining to my wife that I'd been through this class and let me read this to you. And she, after hearing it, said, whoa. When's that going to happen? But you know, it's because I hadn't been living it. And some things I was probably doing pretty well, but there was no intention behind it. And now I knew how I wanted to be, and I knew some of the things I had to change. Now that was a lot longer. You know, I wrote out this whole paragraph. Most of mine now are at a couple of sentences, but I've saved that. Is that something I just continue to go back to? And so that was one of the first things I ever wrote in clarifying my values, and it means a lot to me and to my family. Now, in your planner, there are forms that look like this. They're behind a tab that says mission and values. We're not really going to discuss mission here, although many people, once they get through the process of clarifying values, would like to have an overarching statement that is their personal mission statement, and I recommend it. For some people, the mission is the summation of all their values. For others, it is a separate purpose statement. And you'll find examples of that in the CD to help you with that. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is a course that we offer that really spends a great deal of time on taking some of this information and furthering it into a personal mission statement. So I would recommend that as well. We're going to focus on values clarification. So if you would go in your planner, back to the values mission tab, find a values clarification page. And what I'd just like you to do is take one of your values. And if you've already done this, you can look at it and see if you want to refresh anything, or take one of the ones you've listed already and just take a minute to write a sentence or two that helps clarify for you what that value would mean. Again, I'll ask you to stop at this point, knowing that for many of you, you may not be done. And I would suggest that even today you finish that one if you're not done. Let's go back to the question of difficulty. Some of you shook your heads yes, that you found just listing your values to have some level of difficulty. How many found this hard to do, to write out some clarification? Okay, a few more hands. Why is this hard to do?
I just found it hard because everything I was writing was something that I wanted to improve upon. So it was kind of like I had to bring myself to the point where I would is admitting that I'm not doing this today, so I need to improve upon it. And that was the hardest part, I think.
So maybe the difficulty wasn't in writing it itself, but in the recognition of by writing it, I'm feeling like there's a commitment here. Okay. Annie, did you have something?
I found it difficult for me because I couldn't find the words to express what's inside. That I know what it is, but how do I plumb that out? How do I get it out of me?
Okay, so actually putting it into words, having the feeling, having some sense of, but actually putting down in words, it does make it more difficult. Any other comments on level of difficulty or why to you? Go ahead, Jen.
I didn't want to leave anything out. I thought, is this really all that I value, or is there something else that's huge that I'm forgetting? I just didn't want to forget anything.
That is a great point. The fear of not wanting to leave anything out may put us into the mode of putting way too much in. And recognizing that by what you write today is not set in granite, but it's a beginning. And if you take that beginning and put it in the affirmation and say, you know, some pieces of this I feel like I'm living very well, and here are a few things that I could stretch and really work towards, create somewhat of a vision for me of some things where I can either improve, or maybe I'm doing really well, but I'd like to even go a next level. And it can get very exciting. But I would resist the need even to put everything down, because you know what? A month from now when you're reviewing it, you may see something else. And this will be a dynamic document. It'll move and it'll change. It won't change dramatically from what the values are, but maybe how you clarify it and when you decide to take action on which one. Because the other risk here is that once you've created a list, you're going to try and work on them all today. And of course, to do that, you'd have to live on a mountain and be isolated from the world. But to live in this reality, this chaos of today, this just helps give some refinement and some focus. So it is difficult for different reasons. It's difficult. The question then becomes, then why not just skip it? Why do this if it's hard? It's hard because now I feel like I have to do stuff and I can't put it into words and I'm afraid I'm going to miss some of it, so it'd be easier not to do it. Why do it? You know, I would suggest that if we haven't clarified the values, I don't think that means we're living a valueless life. I think it's less purposeful and less focused. And so it's through the process of clarifying that helps us solidify and bring some of those feelings into words and into clearer vision. And you know, the other thing that's interesting is that there's really a season for different things in our lives. And so once we've listed our values and clarified them, that doesn't mean we have to act on all of them right away. It's recognizing when's the best time. I had a fascinating discussion with my father one time. We grew up in the Cleveland, Ohio area. My father worked for NASA in Cleveland, and when he retired, my parents moved to Tucson, Arizona. And I remember watching as I have two brothers, and as the three of us kind of grew up and then went away to college and started our own lives. And so then my parents, you know, my dad finished out his career and moved to Tucson. And I was watching my parents start to enjoy things that I'd never seen them enjoy, travel and tennis and golf. I mean, they always liked that stuff, but, you know, it was never prevalent in their lives. And my dad started doing some great volunteer work, and my mom started her own little consulting business, you know. And I remember when I was in Arizona visiting, and I said to my dad, it's really neat for me as your son to see you and mom have these new interests. And he got a little perplexed look, and he said, well, what new interests? And I listed some of them. He said, well, those aren't new. They were always there. But at the time in our life when we had committed to three sons, and raising three sons in college and my career, and my mom was doing some night school, he said, we felt like that was the limit for us. And to do those well, we knew some other things had to wait. And it was a great lesson for me about not trying to take it all on at once, but making some good choices. There are many people in history, you could probably come up with some examples, who have lived their values during some difficult decisions of going back, some even to the point of death and taking death over giving up values. One of those is Joan of Arc. And I'm not sure how much you know of Joan of Arc. I never did see the movie, and so I don't know how accurate the movie was, but at age 14, felt this passion, felt like she'd heard voices, as a matter of fact, divine, but felt this passion to save her country from the attacks of the English. She convinced the King of France to do that, and he gave her an army. And she did exactly what she said she felt was her passion, her mission, if you will, defeated the army. A year later in battle, she was captured by the English. And they knew her history, her story, and they said, you can live in England and live if you'll just take back what you've said about hearing the voices and what drove you and your passion. And she, of course, chose not to do that. Now, there is a play by Maxwell Anderson called Joan of Lorraine. And I'm not sure if this is a direct quote from her, but in the play it is said so beautifully, thought we'd like to share it with you. She said, I know this. Every man gives his life for what he believes. Every woman gives her life for what she believes. Sometimes people believe in little or nothing, and so they give their lives to little or nothing. One life is all we have, and we live it as we believe in living it, and then it's gone. But to surrender who you are and to live without belief is more terrible than dying, even more terrible than dying young. Now, I don't believe that we're going to be asked, especially on a daily basis, to make decisions of our values versus death. But giving it that perspective lets you know how important this is in clarifying and identifying your values. I've told you that when you leave here today, I'm going to ask you to do some things for the next 21 days. And so I'm going to suggest that you write down some specific commitments to do that. The place to write those down is back on this page for today in your planner where you listed your governing values. Now number the next one in sequence and put 21-day commitments and then write this commitment. I will draft my governing values within 48 hours. I will draft my governing values within 48 hours. The key word here is draft. I'm not suggesting you have some final document set in stone, but I am suggesting that within the next 48 hours, while it's still fresh, where you still have this example of one that you've started to clarify, and if you've already done this, that you go back and review them within 48 hours and see if there are any things that have changed or that you want to add, but that within the next 2 days, you take some time focusing on quadrant two, your governing values. Make sure your list is what it really is for you, and then clarify those values. It'll be a first draft. It'll be something that you'll review on a regular basis. If we go back to Benjamin Franklin for a moment, and history, and American history, if you think about the Constitution of the United States, what does that document represent to us as citizens of the United States? It's our governing values, is it not? What gray-haired, tottering old gentleman had a lot to do with the creation of that document? Ben Franklin. He had lived it his whole life. And as a country, we had just been through a values test. The Revolutionary War. We never believed we could have won it. But because the beliefs were so strong, this army of ragtag colonists fought the best army in the world and beat them. So we'd just been through that. It was hellacious. The Articles of Confederation were no longer valid. Ben Franklin helped lead this group through a process of identifying and clarifying values. And today, the Constitution represents those values. If you don't believe that, think about this. Laws are passed every day in this country, and we don't blink an eye. But if someone wants to amend the Constitution, everybody has strong feelings and opinions about amendments to the Constitution. Why? Because they're values-driven. They matter that much to us. What I'm suggesting here is that within the next 48 hours, you draft your personal constitution. And then when you've done that, for those of you where it's appropriate, go home and create a family constitution. It'll be a wonderful experience that will set some new direction. So I'll draft my governing values within 48 hours. Now, once we have that information, that base to our pyramid, then we need to start creating the plan so that we live by it. And in some cases, close some gaps where our behaviors aren't quite in line with it and where we'd like to make that improvement. And that takes us to the next level of the pyramid, which is the goal setting level.